Welcome to the Dr. April Jasper Show, relevant conversations for business owners of today. Welcome, everyone. It's so exciting to be here today with someone I'm getting to know and really appreciate. And honestly, Jeff, you have been an inspiration to me already. So for those of you who don't know Jeffrey Cole, he's a neighbor, sort of. We both live in Florida now most of the time. And what you may not know about him, and I'll speak to my daughter right now. So Allison, you're in optometry school, and I can't wait for you to hear this, because anyone who's in eyewear or involved in the business of eyeballs, you've got to know Jeffrey Cole, because Jeff has had such a part of our journey, of our history, and he's going to tell us all about it. So Jeff, thank you so much for being here with me.
Well, thank you very much, April. It's a pleasure.
We've had a few years of kind of communicating back and forth, but finally we get to meet each other face to face.
For sure. And you gave me an eye exam last week, which was frankly one of the best eye exams I ever had in my life.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Thank you. You know how I am. I want to make sure in our whole office that, like you and everything you've done in your life, everything we do brings value to other people. So that means a lot to us. Thank you. So let's get started. I want you, if you would, to start our conversation by telling everybody how you got involved in the world of eyewear.
April, I got involved in the world of eyewear by accident. I'll try and make it extremely simple. My father was a classic entrepreneur in a long time ago, in the 1930s and 40s, he was in the key business. People don't remember what keys are, but you used to need a key to unlock your house and your door and so on. And he operated kiosks on the parking lot of Sears Roebuck and Montgomery Ward, both now gone, that you could pull your car up and have a key duplicated. And he got very friendly with the manager of the Sears Roebuck store at 93rd and Carnegie in Cleveland, Ohio, and worked out a deal to put a key kiosk there. That manager rose through the ranks of Sears Roebuck to become CEO. And one day, my father got a call in the late 1950s saying, "Joe, we've got these things. I'm not sure what they are. They're like eyeglass departments in a handful of our stores. And since you run key shops all over the United States, and we don't know what to do with these, would you be interested in taking a stab at it?" And of course, my dad would take a stab at anything. And he never went to college and was the youngest of nine children. He said, "Sure." And he took over several Sears optical lease departments in the late 1950s, liked what he saw, and then with Sears' help, went on and bought out all the other existing departments, and then was the exclusive licensee. And eventually, under my tenure, we at one point had 1,000 Sears optical departments. That's the way our family got into the business. The way I got into the business was my father got quite ill in the late 1970s, and I was asked to join the company and sort out its various businesses. In the process, I found that the eyewear business seemed to me, even back then, to have the most potential and be the most interesting. And so I started out as CFO and quickly became CEO of the company for 21 years. And I winnowed the company down from having maybe 20, 30, 40 different businesses to focusing on eyewear, along with one other chain that had similar characteristics called Things Remembered, which was an engraved gift store chain that
I remember
eight,
that
800 stores.
Wow.
But that too is gone. But I focused on building an eyewear business in North America and growing our lease department business beyond Sears and Montgomery Ward. Montgomery Ward went out of business, but then I started BJ's Optical. I started Target Optical. I started Cole Managed Vision Care, which is basically now the iMed division of Luxottica. We had 7 optical laboratories. And by the time I was through acquiring companies, including Pearle Vision in 1996, we had 3,000 stores in North America, across USA, Canada, and the Caribbean. And we were, in the late 90s, the biggest eyewear retailer in the world. Along with the Pearle Vision acquisition came a small 100-store Pearle chain in the Netherlands, based outside of Amsterdam. And after acquiring Pearle, including Pearle Netherlands, I received a call from a Dutch investment company similar to Berkshire Hathaway in the United States called HAL Investments, saying they wanted to buy the Dutch part of Pearle. I met with them. They said they really wanted to buy it because they like owning things in the Netherlands. And I said, well, you guys seem awfully smart to me. And so I'm not going to sell it to you, but I'll be your partner. And in late 1996, that led to the creation of something called Pearle Europe that started in the Netherlands. And then I was actively involved in building that business because I convinced the investment company that there was the same opportunity in Europe as in the United States to build, buy, and grow. And so in rapid fashion in the late 90s and early 2000s, in conjunction with my partners, I bought companies in Germany, Austria, Portugal, Italy, Finland, Poland, and so on. And eventually, after a number of years, we ended up with 7,500 optical retail outlets around the world in 45 different countries, and changed the name of the company to Grand Vision from Pearle Europe. I could list all the brands, but they might not be relevant to your listeners because they're all in Europe, but it was quite a company. And it was sold to Luxottica in 2021. And the coincidence there is my company, strangely and unhappily enough, was lost to Luxottica in 2004 in an unfriendly takeover. But it was my vision to create a worldwide empire of retail optical shops, which are now created under the ownership of Essilux, Luxottica, Essilor, and my managed vision care business is one of the drivers of the Luxottica retail business. So that's either a long or a short story. That's a short story.
A lot of work, a lot of time.
A lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of interesting people I met along the way, a lot of talent that I developed. I tended to focus on younger people and help them grow into bigger positions. Also, while it's not new news today, my companies were among the early ones to employ significant amount of women in high positions, mm-hmm. and that worked very well, something I believe strongly in. And So that's a snapshot of the major part of my business career. There have been offshoots of that. My relationship with the Dutch investors became so close that during the financial crisis, Safilo, which was the second largest eyewear wholesaler, was in financial trouble, and I convinced my Dutch partners to step in and save it. And I spent 15 years, ending last May, on the board of Safilo, trying to help grow the company. In addition to that, in part because of my history, I got involved with a Cleveland-based private equity firm called Blue Point Capital, and together we purchased in 2014 Hilco, which at the time was the largest eyewear accessories firm in the United States.
Right.
And I helped create the strategy to make it grow and to make it into an international company. And then more recently, I have three current activities in the eyewear business. One is the Revo Sunglass Company, which was founded 40 years ago. And
there's some over here, I see.
Was special because of its lenses, which were developed by a NASA engineer to have special construction and coating to let light in with greater clarity but provide greater protection. So I've been trying to rebuild that brand for the last 7 years, and it's not been easy, but we're on the way, and I think we have some new developments that are supposed to be announced soon. I'm told, and if it doesn't come true, don't hold me to it, that we are going to be featured on Monday's front page of Women's Wear Daily with a announcement about a new strategic relationship and some new things we're doing.
Awesome.
In 2023, I joined forces with a individual that I consider to be the leading eyewear executive in the United States. Her name is Holly Rush. She had previously been president of the Luxottica wholesale division, and after that, the CEO of Costa Del Mar, the sunglass company, based down here in Florida.
Yep.
And one day we were sitting around together a few years ago and said, are there opportunities that remain in the eyewear business? And we came to the conclusion that there were, and our conclusion was that there was an opportunity to build a brand new company of non-licensed brands, only proprietary brands, and build a company that had the capability to sell to independent optical shops, to roll-ups, to chains, to have a DTC e-commerce capability, to have a capability to sell to non-eyewear wholesale outlets such as gift shops and hotels and cruise lines, and to actually have a monobrand capability. And because of my past relationship with Blue Point, we presented our ideas to them and they were willing to back us. And in 2023, we started a journey to build this new company, first by acquiring a company in Chicago called Europa Eyewear, which was a 47-year-old family-owned business that was very successful, that actually had only its own brands.
Wow.
Excuse me for flouncing around. But among its own brands was the very unique brand American Optical, which is actually the oldest brand in the United States, founded in 1833, that had been worn by, you know, people your listeners may not remember because they're all dead.
But,
you know, worn by Teddy Roosevelt, when he was a Rough Rider before he became president, worn by Jimmy Doolittle, who was a World War I flying ace who shot down a whole bunch of planes. I'm not sure quite how many. And worn by President and General Dwight D. Eisenhower. And guess the most iconic figure is John F. Kennedy, who wore these glasses, which is the Saratoga sunglass from American Optical, made in our factory outside of Chicago, Illinois.
Wow.
And we have been reinvigorating the American Optical brand, both for prescription eyewear and sun. And of course, with the craziness these days about supply chain and tariffs, the idea of a high quality made in America pair of prescription eyewear or sunglasses is something that people are finding more and more attractive. And of course, after talking to you about iBobs, which I'll talk about next.
Yes, let's talk.
I'm going to make a big effort to get you to carry our collection of Made in America eyewear from Europa. Europa has 12 other brands that do very well, but they're all their own brands, and they're very good for independent optometrists. They're very good to be used with managed care sales. So after buying Europa, we went and bought a second company called iBobs, based in Minneapolis, which both of us were familiar with, and both of us were longtime customers of. And what attracted us to iBobs was that it was a unique, well-known brand in the reading glass business.
Right.
With tremendously high quality, attractively designed.
All these colorful ones. Those are iBobs.
Like this is iBobs. This is iBobs. You know, this is iBobs.
Wow.
And my this orange pair that has not hit the market.
Okay.
Was given to me by the person who deals with the creating eyewear for iBobs to see if I liked it, and I really did. And so when I fly to Chicago or Minneapolis and have these around my neck, I get these comments, hey, dude, where'd you get those glasses? And I'm pretty old to, you know, be called dude. But nevertheless, if you really took a look at these, the quality, they sell for $98. The quality of the frame, the hinge, the colors, the weight makes them fantastic reading glasses. They're so popular that we learned that people would buy the readers, take the lenses out, put in prescription frames and sun frames. So we now also sell iBobs as prescription eyewear, as sunglasses, and we have only 4 retail stores. They're all in Minneapolis, but surprisingly enough, 50% of the revenue in those stores is from prescription eyewear under the iBobs brand. So, and of course, you could buy iBobs down the street at the Breakers gift shop.
Yes, I've seen them.
in Palm Beach and several other places. And we are on the hunt for more brands to buy because, as you probably know, there still remain a lot of interesting independent eyewear brands that get to a certain size, that don't have an infrastructure, that don't have the financing to grow, that if they had the right leadership, the right infrastructure, and the right supply chain ability, there's plenty of opportunities to growth. So we are looking to buy 3 or 4 more companies in the next few years. not just in the United States. We're also looking in Europe to buy companies that have great brands, some business in the United States, but where we can enhance considerably their revenue in the United States. And
so it sounds like you just don't slow down.
Well, April, I'm told by many that I'm crazy and I should be playing golf and bridge and
pickleball.
Pickleball, paddleball, you know, I'm not sure all the other things I could waste my time on. But I can do those things and do them well, but I find it much more stimulating to do what I'm doing.
Yep.
It keeps my brain charged, and I'm working with people young enough to be my children and many young enough to even be my grandchildren. And while I can't walk or run as fast as they can, at least in my opinion, without being arrogant, I can think as fast or faster as they can.
Right.
And I believe that by continuing to do all this, it is what has kept me quite healthy as I go into the twilight of my life.
I love it. I love that you're doing this. It's so important to us, to me, to others like me that also want to build a business. We want to learn from people like you, and we want to see what has worked for you and what hasn't. So jump into that for a minute as well, Jeff. Tell me, throughout this journey, what are some of your key accomplishments? You told us all about the history, but what are some moments that stand out to you?
Well, I mentioned a few of the moments. One was building Cole National's group of eyewear companies, including Pearle Vision and Target Optical, into the leading North American eyewear company. And of course, building Pearle Europe and Grand Vision into, after that, into the world's largest eyewear business were two significant accomplishments. But there are a lot of other softer things that I'm very proud of, which is the development of younger people. Many, many, many of the people that worked for me, particularly at Cole National and to some extent at Grand Vision, have gone on to have careers not only in eyewear, but also leading other large companies, both in the United States and Europe.
Right.
And I have maintained some wonderful relationships with these folks, and it's quite surprising to me. I guess my openness and generosity in terms of helping people advance, for many of them, has paid off because they all stay in touch with me.
Oh,
and they
that's
all,
great.
Not all. Many stay in touch with me. Many come to me with opportunities, and you know, not a week goes by without me talking to somebody that used to work for me in the United States or used to be part of the European company. And so I would say the people side of it, which is hard to quantify in an accomplishment, is something that is quite satisfying to me. Every now and then I'll get a letter from a former optician, optometrist, person who worked in one of our stores, saying thank you, you know, just out of the blue. And so I get one of those, I always start to cry. So
I would too.
And so I would say that in simple terms, those are accomplishments. The fact that I was in the eyewear business led to some significant philanthropy on the part of myself and my family and subsequently my wife. There's a hospital in Cleveland, Ohio named the Cleveland Clinic, which also has a significant presence in southern Florida.
Yes.
It's actually ranked by U.S. News and World Report as the second best hospital in the United States, and it's ranked by some worldwide association as the second best hospital in the world, the whole world.
Wow.
And in the late 1990s, they determined that they were one of the few major hospitals in the U.S. that did not have an eye institute. They had an ophthalmic practice, but they decided to create an eye institute, and they hired away some of the better doctors in the country.
Right.
And all they were missing was a building. And being at the peak of my career and being in Cleveland, Ohio, the CEO of the Cleveland Clinic at that time looked around for people that might be interested in supporting it. And I was quite friendly with him because he had done open heart surgery on both my mother and father.
Wow.
But he never came to me. He went to a number of families and people who were, let's just say, more famous or higher profile, and did not succeed in finding a benefactor. And when I learned that, I called him up one day and I said, "Hey, how about me?"
Oh my goodness.
So
please, can I give you money?
Very unusual, because most people don't do that.
No.
So I stepped in and offered, and in the fall of 1999, the Cole Eye Institute opened in Cleveland, Ohio, with a 135,000 square foot building designed by a famous architect.
Wow.
And began to attract more and more great doctors. You know from your own experience that these eye institutes not only treat patients, but they do research to try and solve, you know, various eye diseases, ranging from macular degeneration to dry eye. And even though it was the youngest eye institute in the country, it rapidly rose to number 6 on the U.S. News and World Report ratings, for whatever that's worth. And so I spent quite a bit of time being involved. I really had no responsibility, but it was a great learning experience for me on the medical side. And as fate would have it, about a decade ago, they determined, the chair of the Eye Institute, along with the CEO of the Cleveland Clinic, determined that to stay competitive, they needed a much larger building.
Oh, so did they come to you again?
Yeah, and I said, "Look, I'm done. I did I did my part." And what happened is all the folks that they thought were going to pony up the cornerstone gift did not come through. And they came back to me, and in 2016-17, my wife and I, in a creative way, made the cornerstone gift. It took a long time to get the concept finished, the building built, but basically the ground was finally broken in May of 2022. There was a lot of planning preceding that, and of course COVID interrupted some of the early plans. And a new 170,000 square foot addition called the Jeffrey and Patricia Cole Pavilion was completed and opened in late February of 2025. And the old building is currently being renovated. They're both attached, And the grand opening of the combined facilities is in mid-November of 2025. So
that'll be a celebration.
Yeah, it's rare, even in philanthropy, that the same individual or family supports a specific institution for, in this case, by November of 2025, it will be 27 years of involvement.
Wow.
And again, I'm not a doctor, I'm not an optometrist, optician, ophthalmologist, and, you know, I don't really have much say, but because our names are on the buildings, you know, I get to hang around with people who know what they're doing and are very smart and share the latest developments with
me. Yeah, that's good.
And it's been quite an interesting journey and one of the most satisfying things that I have done.
I love that. So your career started in eyewear, moved on to eye care, continued eyewear and eye care, and even in philanthropy, you're moving into the world of taking care of people's sight. I love that, Jeff.
Well, April, thank you very much. Actually, my goal in life from a very young age was to be the great American novelist.
Oh, but, you're a writer.
And I was an editor of the Harvard Lampoon, the nation's oldest humor magazine.
Oh, my gosh.
And I went to Harvard College, you know, which is in the news a lot today. And, you know, I was one of the few public school kids to get into these organizations like the Lampoon, which were mainly made up of guys from exclusive East Coast prep schools. And so actually I went out and bought myself a pair of, I don't know what you would call them, but round gold rim eyeglasses with no prescription, so
yep,
I could look like a preppy.
Love it.
I got detoured very quickly, even though I've written quite a lot, including a book recently. My dorm at Harvard was overlooking the Charles River, staring at the Harvard Business School, which was approximately 1,000 yards away. And I applied to Harvard Law School, Harvard Business School, Tufts School of Diplomacy, Columbia School of Journalism, University of Missouri School of Journalism, and I got into all of them. And I looked out my window and I said, I can just walk across the street. And I ended up at Harvard Business School, which led me to a business career. And that business career was not a ride on my dad's coattails. I started out on Wall Street and became involved as one of the early venture capitalists. I then went on to be an independent entrepreneur for more than a decade, starting buying and building small companies and getting involved with the company that my father started. Really was because he became quite ill. And while he had recruited a fantastic management team, the need for someone to step in was so sudden when he became ill that the board of directors turned to me and said, if you put aside and stop doing all your other stuff, you need to come in and step in here.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
That's what happened. But as you can tell from my involvement in American Optical, Europa Eyewear, iBobs, and Revo, I've been unable to get that early entrepreneurial spirit out of my blood. And the one question you sort of asked quite a while ago that I didn't answer directly is, you know, what are some of the keys to success? And
yes.
you know, because luck always plays a big role. But there is one thing, which is get involved with good people. Nothing works unless you have good people, honest people, driven people, dedicated people, people who believe in the same things you do, people who believe in the same mission, people who are loyal, people who are decent, and of course, being in the retail business, as you are, and being a doctor, as you are, having to deal with people every day, you know, how you treat other people, including your own cohorts in business,
yes,
is a critical success factor. You can't win by yourself. You need a team, and you need to be aligned with that team. You know, obviously, you need great product like we have at iBobs and American Optical and Revo, and you need unique services like, you know, I was developed co-managed Vision Care, which was the first for-profit vision care company outside of VSP, which I know you're a member of. But, you know, we saw a opportunity that VSP was not fulfilling and created a network of chain stores as opposed to independents, and overnight built up a massive managed vision care company. So there are other things besides people, but if you don't have the people to execute and work with you, it's and a little luck, you know, you can't succeed. Now, in today's world of technology, that could be different. You know, maybe there's somebody hiding under their chair that's developing a cure for macular degeneration and with some secret formula that nobody knows, and tomorrow a drug company will pick it up and suddenly they'll sell $10 billion worth of pills that will prevent macular degeneration. That, you know, unfortunately, that's never happened to me. I mean, I've never been that lucky. It's been one step at a time.
Hard work.
Yeah. But
so
fun.
You gave us one key to success. Anything else you want to add to that? So people, I agree. I love that. And it's so important, because the other thing I find, Jeff, I'm sure you have too, is that you don't even know who those people are that are going to be the key people in your life. So you have to treat everybody as if they are that person. You have to love everybody and be kind to everybody, because you don't know who that person's going to be right away.
No, that's true. I had a, well, yes. I mean, it really is people, people, people. Of course, you have to, in business, you know, you have to know what you're doing.
Right.
You know, I'm very familiar with your business. I've been eating at the restaurant next door for 15 or 20 years, and I've been trying to get together with you for 7 or 8 years, and so
you've sent lots of other people to me.
And I sent you lots of customers who rave about you and say that, you know, Dr. April Jasper is better than this doctor and that doctor and that doctor, and she makes things clearer and she solves problems that other people have not been able to solve. And so kudos to you for doing that. You have an amazing reputation, and so I mean, other keys are being sure you know what you're doing.
Right. Keep learning.
Right. You have to be open to learning. You know, I'm not so young anymore, but I learn every day, and I am open to suggestions, to new ideas, to new people. So I would say learning and openness is another key to success.
Yep.
But if you're in a craft, and you know, we're talking eyewear, you do need to understand your craft. You need to understand what the needs of the customer are.
Right.
You need to understand who the good suppliers are. You need to understand what a quality product is. You need to understand when you don't know what to do, so that you need to refer somebody somewhere else.
Yep.
So that you don't leave somebody up in the air saying, oh no, what do I do now?
Right.
And I think those are really it. Nobody can do anything perfectly, but although you gave me a perfect eye exam, no, I'm not 100% sure you have a perfect frame selection here. But,
otherwise, you wouldn't be telling me about new products, right?
Right, that's absolutely correct.
You see how he did that so well.
Right, that's absolutely correct. And by one means or another, I am very hopeful that you'll be curing iBob's American Optical, and maybe, if you like what you read in Women's Wear Daily, Revo, even though there's an abundance of sunglasses out there.
Jeff, this has been amazing. I laugh because of the fact that I'm just remembering you saying you were the editor of what magazine?
The Harvard Lampoon, which was founded in 1876, which is the nation's oldest humor magazine. And back in my day at Harvard, it was an exclusive club. Not
right.
only did you have to write, but you had to apply and you had to tell jokes. And
Oh my gosh, you did that?
Yeah, I'm really not a funny guy. You know, I had to buy a joke book, you know, and memorize jokes.
Wow.
And, you know, you had to stand in front of the existing members and tell jokes, and they had to like you. And
they had to laugh.
They had to laugh, and it was, you know,
That's all the cool stuff
people complain about today. But it was a lot of fun. And in my day, we were actually hired both by Playboy and by Mademoiselle magazine.
Okay.
To put out parodies of those magazines as the official issue. So this is quite boring, and you know, it's not a story I tell often, but I spent this one summer in New York with about a dozen of my Lampoon buddies working on the June or July issue of Mademoiselle.
Oh my gosh, Jeff.
And it replaced the actual issue.
Oh, okay.
Right, so.
And how was it taken? Did people like it?
Oh, yeah. It sold like wild cakes. And
the
strangest thing is while I had my picture in it several times in sort of semi-disguise, one picture, as I look back and remember, and just talking to you, was of me wearing like 10 pairs of eyeglasses.
No way.
Yeah. This is a long time ago, yeah. So anyway.
Wow, and look at where you are today. Only two today.
No, I usually...
and seven more here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
No, yeah. I usually walk around with 3 or 4 pairs around my neck. People think I'm crazy. I walk around with a pair of iBob's readers. I walk around with American Optical prescription. I walk around with Revo sunglasses, and sometimes, because down here in Florida it's so bright, I wear a second pair of sunglasses.
Yeah.
So
it is bright. Well, you know what? I think that you've learned over the years, there's nothing better for advertising than having them right there with you. So you do a great job. People look. That's what matters.
Yep, they look. But then you got to get them to buy, and then you've got to get the product in the store or get them to come to
right.
your website these days,
because right.
there's a whole new element in eyewear, which is
sure.
e-commerce, which I think originally most eyewear retailers and independent ECPs were frightened of, but I think more and more it's
yeah.
being embraced. It doesn't work for everybody, but it does work for some people and certain products.
Yep.
Obviously, the easiest product to sell online is our sunglasses, and
sure.
the second easiest are reading glasses.
I think what I've learned, though, just spending the last few minutes with you, is how we have to be open to new ideas. We have to definitely embrace these ideas and work with good people and not be discouraged by the things that happen that maybe we don't think were the right things for us at the time, because another opportunity is going to open up. And I think what's really cool is our listeners are hearing too, Jeff. You see how good he is. He's telling me his story at the same time weaving in his product to our office. And I love that about you.
Well, April, thank you very much. You know, I'd like to say to you and anybody else who is listening that, you know, the journey that I've been on, you know, has not been without its bumps. You know, I'm not going to spend time talking about it, but it's not been a straight up success. I've made mistakes. I've run into problems.
What do you do when you hit a bump?
Well, me, when I was a kid, I was the biggest kid around. I stopped growing like in ninth grade, and my nickname was Moose. So what do? I just moose and plow ahead. I don't know any other way, because if you know where you're going, then you can get there.
Right.
So I had a Harvard Business School professor in marketing who wrote one of the most famous books on marketing called Innovations in Marketing. And he had a saying, if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. So I've always had a pretty clear picture of where to go. It's just how to get there, you know?
Right.
It's like how to get there without a GPS system.
Exactly. Someone telling you the way. Jeff, thank you so much. I think you've agreed to come back and talk some more. And I think we have a lot more to talk about. But I just appreciate your time today. I appreciate you introducing us to some new but old brands and giving us a history lesson at the same time inspiring us. Any last words you want to leave us with?
Well, first of all, April, thank you for being so kind to invite me. And thank you for the best eye exam I ever had. And I would say I have no idea who's listening, but if I had anything at all to advise anybody, it is to figure out where you want to go, figure out how to get there, and figure out how to learn the way to get there, and figure out how to associate yourself with the best people and be good to people. And, you know, I've seen a lot of business people who are tough and push people around, and, you know, that's the way they get results. But there's another way, which is, you know, to be helpful, to be nurturing, to be educational. And so those would be the final words that I would leave you with.
I'm sure you guys have enjoyed this as much as I have. Jeff Cole, entrepreneur, eyewear, really historian, and you've really been that person who has created a path of in our industry that has become part of our history. And we appreciate you spending time with us. Your philanthropy is incredible as well. So all of this, just thank you, and thank you for sharing with us today.
April, thank you.